following is a message at Living Savior Church in Asheville and Hendersonville, North Carolina. To learn more, go to lsavior.org.
Your late Uncle Oscar left behind a house filled with stuff. And it's been made your responsibility that you have to sort through it. So you fold his clothes and you hoist his furniture into a truck and you haul it to your favorite charity. Those things that cannot be donated, you fill a dumpster that's been placed in the front yard. But in the course of sorting through your Uncle Oscar's stuff, there's this collection of Dr. Seuss artwork on his living room wall. You know, the Lorax and the Red Fish and Green Fish and the Cat in the Hat and Horton Hears a Who and Sam I Am. He's got this whole collection, and you wonder, this might have something to it. So you find a reputable site online, and you realize that this collection of Dr. Seuss art is worth $1,000. So now you've got an ad on Facebook Marketplace, and next thing you know, a nice man is standing in your driveway, and he's looking over your late Uncle Oscar's Dr. Seuss collection. He's pleased with what he says, and he tells you, can I pay you with cash? And you grin and say, well, of course you can. So he reaches into his wallet, and he hands you a crisp, brand new $1,000 bill. As you look at it, you think to yourself, I don't know if I've ever even seen one of these. I didn't even know these existed. But then you look at him, and he's this nice man, and you tell him, well, thank you very much. It's been good doing business with you. It's only later on that you stop at the bank and try to deposit your brand new, crisp $1,000 bill, and the person behind the counter, they look it over kind of carefully and with a bit of a frown on the face, and they begin to ask you questions, and then they say, sorry, but the Federal Reserve has not printed a single $1,000 bill since 1945. This particular bill, they say, it's counterfeit. Now, could that actually happen to you? Perhaps you're not that naive. Perhaps your guard is always up when a total stranger, even though he looks like a nice man, when he hands you a personal check or a formally written IOU or some currency of high value. Perhaps you're on your guard so much that you always want to check this person out and test what he or she is giving you. Can the same thing be said if somebody hands you a message that they say will change your whole life? Can the same thing be said if somebody hands your family something that they say will improve their eternity before God himself? Are you on your guard even when the messenger is nice and claims to be a spiritual person? Jesus' apostle John tells us that for the sheep in the shepherd's flock, that has to absolutely be the case. Always, you have to be on your guard. Right here, the Apostle John is telling us, test every spirit that claims to be from God. Test every one of them so that you can distinguish between the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. By pretty much every account, John was one of the youngest of Jesus' apostles, young, gifted, and And from the start, faithful to everything he heard from Jesus and everything he saw. John was there to see Jesus prove by his miracles that Jesus had come from God. John was there to hear Jesus say in so many words that that he's the long promised Messiah, the Christ, the one anointed to proclaim and bring eternal truth to his people. And John was there to see Jesus Christ die on a cross, and then to see him a number of times afterwards show himself alive, having conquered death and risen. But by the time he writes this letter, a number of years have gone by. John's been around the block a number of times. 60 years perhaps have passed. And over that time, John has seen many precious sheep being led astray by counterfeit apostles and false teachers. So, accumulated wisdom from the years and love and truth compel John to warn the Savior's flock, like Jesus himself did. Remember that? One day Jesus was talking to a great crowd of his followers, and he told them that you may not be able to easily distinguish between a counterfeit teacher of the Lord and a false one. You can't immediately tell a false prophet from a true spokesman for the Lord. Jesus' way to put it is, he said, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing. They might fit right in with the flock. Maybe nobody else in the flock recognizes them for what they are. They may appear to be completely harmless. They might even refer to themselves as spiritual as anybody else." Yet his words, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ferocious wolves, and they will tear you apart with their lies." St. John, when he writes this reading that we're looking at now, takes this warning of Jesus to the next level. Here's what he writes one more time. He writes, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, every spiritual leader, but test the spirits to see whether they come from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spiritual leader that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you've heard is coming, and even now is already in the world." Can you follow what he's writing here? Let's take that last point first. The so-called spirit of the Antichrist is the attitude, the spirit of anyone who will not acknowledge the full authority of Jesus Christ. He pushes Jesus off of the throne and assumes the throne for himself and claims himself to be the ruler and the father of God's people. She pushes him away from the lectern and assumes that she herself is the one who really is teaching rather than Christ. They dismiss the Jesus Christ who died and rose and took up his life again, and they assumed themselves to have the authority to be savior and redeemer for his people. That's the so-called spirit of the Antichrist, the spirit of one who claims to be, falsely so, in the place of Christ, more knowledgeable than he, more full of the plan of salvation than Christ is. Now go back to the previous point. There is a specific test to identify a false spirit and to recognize the false prophets that come to destroy the flock. John's way of putting it, every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. Which is a statement that's not necessarily as simple or as narrow as it first sounds. And think about this. If someone says that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, then they're saying that he died in the flesh and he rose in the flesh, as proof that he alone is the ransom for us sinners, no one else. The spiritual leader who says that is from God. The spiritual leader who does not acknowledge Jesus as the one who came in the flesh is not from God. But there's more. If someone says that Jesus Christ, who died and himself rose, that Jesus is from God, then they must also acknowledge that everything he and his apostles, his ambassadors, say is from God. All of it. That teacher, that prophet, that spirit who will say that plainly and frequently and genuinely, that person too is from God. And yet anyone who does not acknowledge that Jesus, who is from God, he gives us everything he needs in his word and tells us that we are to teach everything he's commanded, everything without fail. If they're not willing to do that, they're not from God. The Apostle Paul wrote two epistles that we have, wrote those two letters during his second journey, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, letters written, both of them, to the church in the Greek city of Thessalonica. You read the letters and it's pretty obvious that this was a strong church that was very courageous under persecution, that was eager for mission work, for evangelism work, that genuinely put their trust in the risen Christ and was looking forward to his return at the last day. The church at Thessalonica is often called the model Christian church, an example for every church. And yet, you know what we're told about them? The brothers and sisters in the church at Berea, down the road, actually surpassed them in one way. Here's how they're described in the book of Acts. Now, the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures to see if what Paul said was true. Even that great missionary, that apostle, that theologian named Paul, even he was put to the test. This is why we have catechism classes for our young people. in catechism classes, they learn what it means that Jesus is the Christ who has come from God in the flesh, and what he accomplished by his death and resurrection, and what he speaks to us in his holy word. In a catechism class, young people also learn how to examine the scriptures. So to see whether what any spiritual person is saying is actually true. This is why we have foundations classes for those who are new to Christianity and for those who desire membership in the church. In foundations class, you learn that Jesus is from God in the flesh, and that in the flesh he destroyed the power of sin and death and overwhelmed the devil's temptations and rose victorious. You also learn how to examine the scriptures so you can put even your own pastors to the test and every spiritual person that you hear. This is why we invest so much time and effort and even money in training the next generation of pastors. Many of you get to observe that as you observe the vicars who serve for a year at our church Living Savior. The vicar year in our training system is the 7th out of 8 years. And during that year, this pastor-to-be is learning how to examine the scriptures for himself and strengthen his own faith that Jesus Christ is the one and only Savior that he claims to be. But that pastor-to-be is also learning the scriptures so that he can help the sheep in his flock recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. In a perfect world, no one would try to pass off counterfeit currency as if it were genuine. In a perfect world, no one would try to pass himself off as you and use your credit card number to make expensive purchases when you're not present. In a perfect world, that unknown number that shows up on your phone, that can't be a person who sounds nice and sounds helpful, and yet they're actually trying to do you some harm. In a perfect world, that wouldn't happen. In a perfect world, there would be no wolves in sheep's clothing, no false prophets, no one who claims to serve God and yet does just the opposite. And yet the world is not perfect. The world is fallen and flawed and subject to many evils. And the prince of this world, the devil, is quite crafty about using that which appears to be genuine to deceive and destroy. So when we read that some writers who claim to be speaking for the church have actually written things that are plainly false and destructive, when we observe that the teachers of Christ's church often teach that which Christ and his apostles never taught, when we observe that sometimes the pastors of the church are its worst enemies, we're not taken off guard by the illusion that everybody who claims to be a spiritual person is trustworthy, not in a fallen and flawed world. You see, you and I put in the lifelong effort of learning the truth of the Word who became flesh. We do that for ourselves, and we do that also for others who are in our spiritual care. We do Bible studies. We do devotional readings so that we can know what the truth is, and then ourselves in this imperfect world recognize that which is false. You see, as we're told today, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, he laid down his life for the sheep. He did it one time on the cross. The perfect, complete payment price that sets us free to, even in an imperfect world, to live before God and serve him without guilt and without fear. Risen and having taken up his life again, the Good Shepherd lives and speaks through his holy scriptures. And he says more than once, "My sheep, you and I, my sheep listen to my voice." So when you find that spiritual person who actually passes St. John's test and who actually speaks the truth of Christ in love for you, treasure that person. If you can find a church of spiritual persons who actually will help warn you about false prophets and then comfort you and encourage you and give you peace with the voice of Jesus himself, well, give thanks to God for such a church. And if you can find pastors who are willing to be tested themselves by the higher authority of the Word of God, if you find such pastors who are willing for that and invite that, then praise God for giving you and the church such a gift. Because like St. John says, the world in which you and I live, it gravitates towards that which is not true. The world in which you and I live jumps from one lie to another because it goes from one false prophet to another. But John's words, "Dear children, you are from God and have overcome them. You've won the victory in Christ because the true and Holy Spirit who is in you is greater than the false spirit who is in those false teachers. The Spirit who is in you, by the word of Christ crucified and risen, is greater than any other spiritual being." God be praised for that. Amen.